Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shaw Marie, and it's a Tuesday. Technically, it's day two of the No Mountain Dew challenge that I'm under. I'm recording this on Monday, so I'm going to assume in 24 hours I'm still pretty solid. And it's going to go great. We'll see how it goes. It's going to go great. I'm super confident. But really, you guys, let me know if you guys are going to do one, because it'd be a shame to do something fun all by myself. You know, what a shame. And so since it's a Tuesday, and I already told you guys on Sunday that it's going to tell you guys about a mom. Well, I misspoke. She's a woman. She's a worthless woman. She's a horrible, horrible woman. She used to be a mom. She's an ex-mom. Ex-mom. No longer a mom. And I'm going to tell you why. We snatched her mom card up out her fucking pretty little hands and we took it away. And we told her, never again. That's what we did. So, I'm going to tell you about a lady who was born on September 1971. She is gonna be how old this year? This year she will be 49, I think. Well, this worthless mom's name is Susan Smith. I'm gonna tell y'all about Susan Smith. So she is from South Carolina. That's where this crime is committed. And yeah, so we'll dive right in. She had a somewhat different accounts, depending on who you ask and what court you're testifying in. Her childhood was stable, except for the fact that her father did commit suicide when she was 6 years old. She herself attempted to commit suicide at the age of 13 years old. It was a failed attempt, did not go well. Obviously, she lived. And then her mom went on to marry Beverly Russell. That is the weirdest fucking name for a dude I've ever heard in my life. So that just leads me to believe that he's shady of some sort. So, Beverly is a member of the local chapter of the Christian faith, who later on it's revealed that he did start molesting Susan in her teenage years. But even though she's trying to kill herself and having a molestation relationship with her stepfather, she graduates high school, which is awesome. Good job, Susan. Kudos. Snaps for Susan. She graduates in 1989. And then she made a second attempt to kill herself when a married man says, I can no longer have this affair with you. We can no longer do this. So then she says, I'm going to kill myself. And he says, I'm sorry to hear that. Have a good day. And so she does it, obviously. And so she decides, well then, I'm going to go get married my damn self. And she goes and marries this cute, adorable, good-looking fella named David Smith. And then they have two sons together. But the relationship is rocky the whole time because Susan is cock hungry. She's fucking getting dick everywhere and anywhere. Dick slapping her in the face everywhere. He also has an affair, which I'm assuming is a good, go classy affair. Hotels, restaurants on the other side of town, some hand holding, some jerking on the table, some niceness. Susan, meanwhile, is getting bent over anywhere and anywhere, just getting dick down. Trashy. Everywhere. So, I'm going to tell you the lead up to where we as America take her fucking mom card from her and banish her from having children again. Well, she still probably could, but now she's in the upper ages and I wouldn't recommend it. Anywho, so on October 25th, 1994, paint a picture. We are driving our car. We have our two precious babies in the back seat. We're driving. We come to a solid red light. When we come to this solid red light, the door flings open. And then there's a gun to our outside and there's a skinny black guy and we're like, ah! And he's like, get the fuck out the car. And we're like, but my babies, they're in the back seat. Let me get them. And he's like, no, bitch, I'm in a hurry. Move. Don't worry about your babies, though. You'll get them back. And he takes the car. So then she runs, bam, 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 to the neighbor's house. She knocks on the door. The neighbor calls 911. Even the 911 operator's confused as shit. They're like, this lady was carjacked and her kids were in the back seat. And the chick on the phone's like, the guy knew the babies were in the back seat? And the dude's like, yeah. Did he have a weapon? Yeah, he did, ma'am. And so it didn't go like that. Total Sean Marie remake of that conversation. So even 911 was like, who the fuck carjacks a car and keeps the damn babies in the back seat? So anywho, police go. When they get there, they call David. And they're like, David, your wife's car's been stolen. And your children in the back seat have also been hijacked with the car. When David gets there, she's in the fetal fucking position, freaking out, hyperventilating, having a come apart. And he has to pick her up and he's like, oh my God, this must be true. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. They get a description of the guy. This description is so plain Jane. It matches fucking every black guy you come across. It looks like there is nothing defining about this character she describes. Nothing. Then she goes on the news, dude, for like 9 days. She's pleading with America and she's like, please, 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 please. Meanwhile, she's dating some rich motherfucker, right? Because her and her husband are like, maybe we shouldn't be married because we keep having affairs on each other. So maybe we should just not. And so, oh yeah. So imagine that. Your soon-to-be ex-wife calls you and tells you she's been hijacked and your kids have been stolen. She needs help. You know? Stressful enough. And so the dude she's dating tells her, he's like, hey, you know, hey, boo, girl, I don't want no babies. I don't want to be a dad. I don't want to be a stepdad. No babies. And so he tells her that as like his cop out, right? And not wanting to be like, girl, it's you. It's not me. It's you. You fucking crazy. Or anything like that. He's just like, hey, I just don't want kids. Because in his head, he's like, this is a normal bitch, right? And that's going to mean like, she's going to be like, well, fuck you. Package deal. Me and my kids are no go. No bone. But this dude's not. He's like, nope. Ain't doing the package deal. You got kids, you're out. And so he just goes about his business, right? He's like, I'm done. Well, that night on the 25th, So what happens is a couple days later, the cops pull him back in and they do a polygraph test. Both parents fail. He fails only because he's under distress. They were like, this shit's flat out lie. Like his, they were like, he might be lying. He might not. He might just be fucking devastated because his boys are missing. But the polygraph dude was like, this mom, she's a liar and a half. So they pull her back in again to do more questioning. And then finally, the second time around, she finally admits what actually happened that night. And the guy that she's having an affair with, his name is Tom. I don't know if that's important to anybody, but some people seem to think that matters. She says that she was not in the right state of mind that night, okay? So she's told that she can't have this man. She likes this dude. He's rich. He's going places. And she has the kids with her. She goes to John D. Long Lake. And she confesses on November 3rd, by the way, I guess I should say. So fast forward to November. November 3rd is when they do this second questioning when she confesses. And she says she drives to the lake and there's like a ramp, of course, to go into the lake. And so she says, you know, I was sitting up there. I started to let it roll because I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to take my kids with me. If I can't live, they can't live. I'm over it. But it starts to roll. I pull the emergency brake and I just think, man, you know, I'm like, whoa, whoa. But I don't know why, for some reason, this is what she says, I don't know why I got out and I let my car roll into the lake with her babies in their car seats. So when she confesses to this, her husband, for one, believes her all the way up until this point, which is weird because you can watch news interviews and like they're holding hands during the interview. And the minute the person is like, okay, we're clear, they like split their hands and he like instantly looks like this bitch knows more than what she's saying. This is weird. Because that he's been asked in the interview, he's like, who hijacks a car and keeps the kids? And he's like, I honestly can't fucking tell you. I don't know, because that is just odd to me. And then, dude, meanwhile, literally when she was getting all these questions thrown at her, Susan is fucking stone faced. And she's like, will not bend on my story. Will not. Until, of course, they say they tricked her. They woozled her into confession. So she does confess, though. And so it takes them, when they pull up the car, do not Google this, you sick, twisted people. When they pull up the car, the boys are still in their seats. They're still buckled in their seats. And someone did a videotape of what it would be like inside the car and outside the car so that the jury would know how long it took the car to sink and like what did the boys see when the boys were in the car. Because mind you, these boys are babies. They are just itty bitty babies, like 3. And I think the other one was like 14 months, like barely over a year, It's just, oh my God, it's so horrible. So like I said, they watched the video, guys. Ugh, they said you could have heard a pin drop in the courtroom. This was still during the OJ trial, which is weird because they didn't let any video cameras into her courtroom, really. And everybody was fucking gagged, ordered, and everything. They like shut that shit down. And so it took 6 minutes, I think, for the car to submerge. And she didn't even have the decency or the worthlessness to kill these boys before. She let them drown in that car. And in one news report, she's saying in the news report that what's haunting her so much is that when this guy stole her car, her babies were screaming. They were terrified. They are scared. And so it only makes you hope to God that this bitch, that part wasn't true. And like, let's hope that they were asleep or I don't. The thought that someone could just watch their vehicle go down with their babies. And it was a good long 6 minutes, folks, that she literally could have swam to that car, changed her other mind, got both of them out, walked away from it and was like, oh, I'm a shitty driver. I went into a lake. Oops. Insurance claim. It could have been as simple as that. It literally could have been. And she chose to like, not. I don't know. It just pisses me off. Like, how worthless of a fucking person do you have to be? So she tries to pull the whole, like, I'm crazy. And there was even one guy, one psychiatrist guy, who was like, she can't testify because she wants to die. And so if we do let her, then she'll make this jury hate her. I know, right? You thought the same thing I did. But, like, they're like, oh, we don't want the jury to hate her, so we won't let her testify so that they just know that she had a mental breakdown. And their little game was that she just was in such a haze and a fucking daze or whatever that she forgot that her kids were even in the back seat and that she was there to kill herself that night and drive herself in. So that when she pulled the emergency breakdown and she got scared, quote unquote, and she just like got out, then that was to be the end. She was just like in a daze, you know, like not out of the like, oh my God, what did I just do yet? That's what she says. That's bullshit. I don't believe that. Not for a minute. And And I don't want anyone to tell me, don't talk about Susan like that. Susan's a horrible person. I don't like Susan. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Susan's career in jail. So, she gets the two life sentences, right? Which, this happened in 1994. Might have been sentenced in 95. She can go up for her first somewhat kind, her first parole in 2024. So, we'll see. She does have an opportunity at release, but I don't see that happening. But anyway, so while in prison, why I said she was dick hungry and she had dicks flying at her everywhere, I'm doing a motion like they're flying at my face. You guys can't see it, but it was very good. Anywho, she dicked down two guards, yo. So the one guard, they be fucking, right, for a while, side piece in it or whatever, and she's getting special privileges. And then she got mad at him and turned him in. Meanwhile, then she starts sleeping with this other guard, and she's like, it's all right, we can dick down. And they were alone for an hour and a half, and they had sexual relations. Well, this guy had vacation time saved up, right? And so he was like, well, I'm going to go on vacation with my wife. Yeah, he's a fucking piece of poo. And while on his away, he was like, I'm no longer going to do that, right? That's bad. But Susan was like, you take vacation time when I barely get dick back? I think not, sir. Yep, I'm fucking him too. Both dudes get fired, lose their pensions. All sorts of shit crazy happens. But then one dude goes to like cooking school. He's all right. The other guy went on Dr. Oz. He does manual like construction or some shit. But anyway, in between the years of 03 and 09, this bitch had over 2,000 pen pals. If y'all want to know where to go to get an inmate pen pal because you're lonely and you need a friend, please go to www.writeaprisoner.com. I don't know if that's the real address. I'm assuming it is. But for real, if you want to, go to Google and just Google writeaprisoner.com. I'm sure that'll be fine. It'll get you somewhere. So within these 2,000 people, I'm not going to say dudes because there's some pussy lovers out there too that, you know, we don't blame. We don't shame. It's aight. But out of these people, male or female, 113 of them fucking gave her commissary. Y'all, she didn't even get her first job incarceration or behind bars until 09. Think about that. From 1995 to 09, you sat on your fucking ass and did nothing except for have a bunch of pen pals and everything. Like, that's all you did. That's all you did. And I guarantee you she was dirty as hell. I guarantee y'all there's some dirty ass messages out there from a Susan Smith. Guarantee it. Put money on it right now. Can guarantee it. But that job, like I said, it made $18 an hour. Then, if you guys, like I said, she's been in jail since 1995. If you count up all of her good behavior, it's fucking a year. It's a year. Out of all that time, you only got a good year under your belt of good time. Ugh. She has 23 write-ups because she self-harms. She does sexual things that aren't allowed. Like, oh my goodness. So yeah, the last time anyone checked, it was only a year of good time total. It could be more now, but I don't know. Good old David, though, he's awesome. It's great that he went on to live a better life. He got remarried and had a boy and a girl. So he got to be a daddy again, which is awesome because this poor man, I'm not even kidding you guys. Ugh, if you guys want, I'm going to post the pictures of them. And you can just tell, like, she knew what happened to her babies. She had that Lori Vallow look. You know what I mean? That's how I found about her is because there's a meme on Facebook where it's like Casey Anthony and then Lori Vallow. And it's like, most hated mom in America. And then Lori Vallow's like, hold my beer. And someone on there was like, these are the worst two moms ever. And then someone else commented, nuh-uh, they ain't as bad as Susan Smith. And so I was like, who the fuck is Susan Smith? And so I Googled it and then I read it and I'm like, how dare you? You kill a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old, you vicious animal, and you let them drown? All because you want some dick? Ugh! You are the worst person ever. Mom card taken. Just like Lori Vallow's mom card taken. Even though Casey Anthony, from what I hear, has had another child, her mom card technically was taken, but I don't know how she got it back, but I guess she did, because I guess we, as a society, even though we can't stop her, free will, free choice, had another baby. Just everybody watch that bitch, you know what I mean? Make sure the babysitters are real. But anywho, Susan Smith is trash. Absolute trash. But, you guys, it is Monday, okay? And I recorded this early for a reason. If you guys, it's going to be Tuesday when you guys hear this. Dateline already aired. You guys already saw it. Already know what I don't know because it hasn't happened yet. But Dateline is on tonight and it is the Lori Vallow update on the children and whatnot. And more interviews with people behind the scenes. They say a lot of things are answered, but I don't fucking know because I haven't watched it yet. So I'm hoping so. But like I said, day 2 of the Mountain Dew Challenge, I'm going to update you guys whether you guys like it or not. Because I'm going to struggle. I think when I was a teenager, my blood turned to Mountain Dew because I used to drink, well, not used to, as of 2 days ago, a shit ton of Mountain Dew. Like, I used to drive around with my friend Tara. We used to drive around together. And I used to go to the drive-thru gas station and buy like 3 or 4 44-ounce Mountain Dews a day. Not that I would drink the whole thing, calm down, but like once the ice melted and it would get like watery, I'd go get a new one. So, in Idaho Falls, there's really not much to do. So just, we'd drive around, smoke pot in the cemeteries and get Mountain Dew. So don't judge me. That's the past. We both have matured. But, oh my God, speaking about smoking pot. So, in my younger days, I got a tattoo on my back, on my lower back, and it says stoner bitch, right? Because I was one of those people that I was like, ooh, I'm going to be so proud, and this will never take away pride until my daughter comes up behind me yesterday, and she goes, Mom, what does that say? I don't know what that says. So if anybody has ideas on how to cover up my back tattoo, I'm open. It's like huge. It's a tramp stamp. It's massive. It has pot leaves on the side. It has 420, a peace sign, says stoner bitch at the bottom. The people who did my epidural and stuff when I gave birth thought it was hilarious. The nurses, everybody thought it was so funny. Now I'm regretting it dreadfully. And that's like my favorite song too, by the Cottonmouth Kings and them, stoner bitch. Love it. Used to be my ringtone and shit when you'd have to like make everybody in the house be quiet so you can record it so it can be your ringtone when people called you. That was mine. But yeah. So that was Tuesday's episode. That's Susan. Hopefully everybody has a good week. And on Thursday, I'll either update you about the Dateline thing or something else. We'll see what happens. But keep it real. I love each and every one of you. Pray for me. Follow me on Instagram at itiswhatitispod19, all together, no spaces. On Twitter at itiswhatitis208, because that's where I'm from. On Facebook at itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. You can also follow me on YouTube as well at itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. And I like every one of you. Well, I don't like you. I love you. But have a good week, and I will talk to all of you guys on Thursday. And hopefully between now and then, I've heard a lot of New Year's Doom Days resolutions. They're fun little challenges. So challenge yourself for 30 days. Have fun. Bye. When I was editing, I realized I didn't even tell you guys the big ha-ha about her and Beverly. So, according to one of the newspaper articles I read, these motherfuckers were still dicking down 6 months before she murdered her baby. So, from a teenager to an adult, she was dicking down her stepdad. Oh, my God. Just forgot. And I was doing the editing and I realized it wasn't in there. So, had to put it in at the end. Bye, guys.